Bien, porque...
¿Tú? Papá是什么状况？
就他会开始会讲的。
哦。
那个，你可以不要玩，我你要只要你听了，你去。 行。你的 sense。
Just checking, can anybody hear me? I'm not able to hear anything from the meeting.
I can hear you,
I
Ravi,
can
but I don't hear
hear you.
anything.
I can hear you. I don't think they've started yet.
Okay, all right.
Well, we can hear you, but yeah, I don't think there's something's going on.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Four people online.
Oh, that's good. Hello.
Oh, that's loud. That's too loud. Hello. Better? A little louder? Okay. How about now? Good in the back? Everyone can hear? Fantastic. Yeah, so we're gonna try to respect people's time. We've got a lot of information to go through, a lot of programs, a lot of exciting updates, and some people to hear from. But first of all, thank you everyone for being here. Thank you to everyone who's attending on Zoom. Hopefully you all can hear. And we're really excited. So I know many people by now, but for those that don't, my name's Sean Morris. I'm the director for soccer and community for Mercer Island FC. I'm entering year number three with the club. I'm really enjoying every year that I get to be here. And then I'm also now the director for the Eastside West Maroon, the new program that we have in collaboration with Eastside FC, where we formed new teams that will be playing at the premier level that will be based in Mercer Island and in Bellevue, which we're very excited about. So this is just our information session talking about, everything that is MIFC. And also just giving more details around what is Eastside West Maroon. We know it's still fresh, it's new, people are all kind of figuring it out. And so we just want to really outline some of the basic details. We'll go over some key logistics, some key dates, program overviews, some of the new initiatives and things that we're working on. And we'll hear from some key figures, our new sports scientist, our new girls director, to present some information around things that we're trying to implement to just bring more for the players, because that's all everything that we're trying to do all the time is putting players first and striving to always provide more wherever we possibly can. And so with that, we will jump ahead. Can you just tap the arrow?
Oh, okay. Just that one should do it. Nope. Okay. Oh, it doesn't want to do that. Oh, that's not gonna work.
That's a PDF.
Yeah. Sorry. That one. That should work. Just that.
So our mission, Eastside and Mercer Island FC both have, our mission statements, and there's a lot of alignment in what we want to do. For MIFC, it's putting players first. Like I mentioned, everything is around, all their decisions are formed around what's good for kids at every level of the game, for the kids who are in our micro program, our rec program, juniors, select, whatever they want to do, if they're in a camp or a clinic with us, how are we putting them first? How are we benefiting them? And then the east side, it's building champions in life. And those overlap in areas where we truly believe that soccer is a vehicle for life skills. And that's going to be reflected in some of the programs we talk about. But we truly believe that this is a thing that can benefit kids for life, whether they play in college, whether they stop out of school, they make the varsity team, they play JV, they move into other sports, they move into other things in life. We think there's so much that they can take away from being in the sport. And we take that very seriously that we want to provide that for them. And we pride ourselves on being inclusive, on being merit-based, on being accessible, community-focused, and empowering players to really be a part of their own journey. Next one. So for the players, we set some expectations, but then we have our commitment to them as well. Our big expectations is that you work hard, you're a good teammate, you're respectful, and be a strong part of your team, and you dedicate to being the best that you can. And we think that's a really good thing for the kids to have set as an expectation for themselves, that every day they try to be their best and they're trying to improve, they're trying to grow, they want to learn. And we're really big believers in growth mindsets, and that every day is an opportunity to improve, every day is an opportunity to learn something. And we really want to commit to that. And also to let them know, enjoy it while they're doing it. It's a game. It should be fun. And I can speak from my experience. It goes very quickly. You will be an 8-year-old running around having a great time. And then you're my age and you can't really run the same way you used to anymore. And you're chasing the young ones and you feel very old when you're doing so. But then our commitment to those kids, again, we always work with their best interest in mind. This is not about what's good for me. This is not about what's good for our board. It's about what is good for the kids. How are we helping them? How are we making decisions that empowering them, that supporting them, that's giving them the opportunities that they're seeking to grow as people, to grow as players, and to pursue their opportunities through the sport and beyond. And our goal is that every player who comes through here leaves a better person and looks back saying, that was the best place that I could have been. I'm so glad that I was a part of that. It made me a better person and I can take those lessons forward in life. That's the best compliment that we can ever get in working with kids. A quick overview of our programs. So, starting at the very youngest ages, we have micro soccer. So, for kids who are 5 and 6, just learning to love the game, learning to have fun and play and figure out what this game is all about. And then they move into, we have recreational soccer. So, for kids who are 7 all the way up to 18, 19 years old. For kids who they want to play with their friends, they want to play 3 months out of the year. They want to have a good time. They want to work with amazing parent volunteer coaches. We have a couple here tonight that I see, and they have an amazing experience, and it's a phenomenal program. And that's where the majority of our players play. And it's really just an excellent, fantastic, and great community program that we love to have. Juniors is one of my favorite programs as well. I love all our programs, but some of them get, I really, really enjoy. And I would say juniors is right up there for our 7, 8, and 9-year-old players, where they're the ones who are kind of taking their first step into being competitive. They want to work with a professional coach. They want to train a little more. They want to be pushed a little more. They want to get into a competitive league, and they want to play a bit longer of the season. And so it's a great step in kind of preparing them for the next competitive level, which is select, where they will go through tryouts and they get picked for teams. They're continuing to work with professional coaches, and they're kind of continuing to pursue their goals and their ambitions for growing as players and starting to dedicate, more to soccer as, not necessarily their only sport, but it's taking more dominance in their life. It's taking more of a forefront for them. And then we bucket that into these three categories of like, love, and live. So this is for players who like the game. They want to play with their friends. They enjoy being out there, but They like a lot of other things as well. They want to play other sports. They're big into school activities. They like extracurriculars. They like their social time, and it's fantastic. And that's where it's really guided for them. We start to progress into those who love the game, ones who they want to push a little more. They want to have that extra challenge. They want to competitively grow. They want to be in that new environment. And then there's the ones who live for the game. The kids who are kicking the ball off everything at home. They're bouncing it off the walls. You can't stop getting them the ball off of their foot. It's all they want to do. Then they're starting to move into really that next tier of their competitive track. And as we move from that, we're talking about a really exciting new initiative that we have. So this is something we've been working on in the background for a few months now. And so we're really pleased to unveil it for this year, which is our Sports Science and Player Wellness Initiative. So when we talked about, we don't want to just develop players, but we want to develop people. A big part of that is the life skills we give them to look after themselves, to be healthy people when they're no longer a part of our programs. So someone can come back when they're 27, 30 years old and say, I picked up lessons from being with you. I became a healthier person and I remained a healthy person for that. And so that's something that we take quite seriously, where we believe in holistic development of mental well-being, nutritional well-being, physical well-being, all these different elements that we can help develop players into being really robust athletes while they're here, but also give them skills to be very healthy adults for the long term. And that's another thing that we just really want to impart on kids, to give them those lessons they can take forward. And so the club and then myself personally are really excited to welcome Ryan Bowen. Ryan has extensive experience, which he'll talk about as a sports scientist. He has flown over from the UK to be here to present this information and to meet everybody. He and I work together in Europe at a very high level academy, and I'm really excited to have him here. He has great morals about working with kids, giving back to the community, giving kids these life skills. And so he's going to be sharing some information in terms of what he's looking forward to providing for all of the kids here.
No.
Yeah. I feel good and comfortable on the phone. So I'll break into song, please. Just join in. I'm just trying to listen. I'm left and I don't feel right. Can you hear okay?
Oh, I have to stop, I think. Do you have it now?
Change the
Is it not doing? I don't have it on mine.
he's got to that screen for that up top where it says meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, click on
Oh, there it is.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
So I get it.
Yeah. There we go.
Okay. The first slide that. Yeah, okay, fantastic. So just so you know, I'm not some random off the street and sure, just drag me in. These are some of the qualifications I've got. And I just wanted to share them with you just so you know I'm the real deal. Can we go to the next one? So these are some of the clubs I've worked for in the UK. And you're really known for like the Premier League Everton. And then I've worked down to, to be honest, if I'm honest with you, when I was at Everton, I was probably decided then that I would never probably go back to working at the top level again, because I decided I wasn't happy with the way the kids were treated. And so I decided a lot of my time was spent in the lower leagues. And so I spent a bit of time in Tranmere Rovers. I even did a bit of rugby with the Vikings, Robbie Fowler's Academy. Then I spent a few years in Spain with Sean. And then this little badge in the corner is my local team I still work for now every now and again. They're just putting on the These are some of the clubs that I've been into. So I've done a lot of work in Europe with these clubs. Just mainly just going in, helping out, or going around, having a look at the clubs. That's pretty much, I was never a paid employee by any of these, but I spent like a week in Bayer Leverkusen, spent quite a bit of time in Spurs. Leicester was a few days, and then Wolves for a few days, dipping out of Liverpool quite a bit. Obviously Barcelona, Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid was when I was working in Spain with Sean. We had the opportunity to go into them demo canopies and view what there was going on there. So this is just for a little bit of context. In the US, there's 3 to 4 million kids playing football. And this standard pyramid works in the US. So the top 1% of those 3 or 4 million, I think it's actually more, 3 or 4, I think it's more near five. If you're in the top 1%, the chances of getting selected for an MLS club, that is the top 1%. So that's like the cutoff point. But I just wanted to show you this so you could get an idea of like how hard it is to make it as a footballer. And so for me, I think I've got me. I think for me, I think this is the group where we are, and I think this is the group where we can have the most impact. And what I'll do is the next slide. So, well, I'll talk through this. It wasn't meant to be there that long, but I'll talk through this. So basically, I've told you about the 1%, the 3.4. This is the percentage of kids that will make it as pro. But as coaches here, we can have 100% effect on kids at this level where we are now by giving good coaching, having holistic programs, and building habits and good health for the future. So the problem, this is related to US youth support. So there's a 70% dropout when kids get to 14 youth sports in the US. So the idea of what we're trying to put forward today is that these kids stay in, they participate in sport for longer, and in soccer in particularly. Sorry if you use football instead of soccer, I'll try and get around that. So the idea is to try and keep everyone in sport longer, build habits, and have a longer participation in sport. It's shown that 25, that with using
Isaac,
holistic
put your
models,
jacket in the
we
back
have
so it's dry a little bit
increasing
when
the
you want it again.
participation into adolescence. So this is the route we're trying to get. And the football program won't be impacted in any way. In fact, it'll probably add to it. The idea is that the kids do learn life skills, habits, take them all forward into later life. That's the idea. And so, as Sean said, football first. Every kid to be on the pitch for as long as possible, so less injuries, and but keep everyone on the pitch, but. Instead of, well, I'll get to the other bit in a bit. Keep kids safe, have a nice environment, and develop the person as a whole rather than as not. These are the four pillars we hope to work with. So mental wellness, physical literacy, social inclusion, so as an environment, and nutrition and lifestyle support. These are some of the things we hope to introduce this season. Probably won't do them all, but we'll definitely touch on pillars from all four. And the idea is to give the parents, the children, and the coaches education in certain areas, which we'll get to in a minute. So, yeah. So this is just to say that we want, the idea is we want the coaches, parents, and the staff to all share, have a shared language. So if a coach is talking to you about something, we want you to understand what the coach is talking about, want the child to understand what the coach is talking about, and you're all on the same, we're all on the same level. This is one of the things. If anyone wants to jump in and say anything, or we can talk about things, that's fine by me. I don't have no problem. This is one of the things we hope to maybe monitor. We're going to try and get a way to monitor. So, is understanding peak height velocity. Does anyone know what peak height velocity is at the moment? No? Okay. So, peak height velocity really just it's just a growth spurt the kids have. And obviously, it happens earlier for girls than it does for boys. But it can be quite a confusing time for the kids. So what they'll display is they'll display clumsiness, because what's happening is that the bones are growing at a longer rate, a faster rate than the muscles and tendons. So What happens is they'll present with like clumsiness or coordination issues. And it's important that the child knows that this is normal. You know, you go through these growth spurts, but what can happen is they lose a bit of confidence during this phase because they'll try things on the pitch that they tried last week, and this week they might not work, and they don't know why, but it can be quite a confusing time for the child. So it's good that we can normalize this and explain to the child what it is and what's happening with the bodies. And then want to touch on a bit of like, I'm not saying that any of you are giving your children any bad foods or anything like that, but we want to touch on like how we can fuel them as a footballer. So we want to talk about what we can do before training, after training, and then just throughout the day. And I hope that these habits they can carry through to adulthood and live healthy lifestyles. And this is just supporting the child's mindset. So we hope to instill good behaviors, work hard, but it's protect the balance. I still think it's important that the kids have a good balance outside of just playing soccer. I think it's shown that if kids who play multi-sports have go on in later life to be successful. And I think we don't want to take, we don't want just to concentrate on soccer. It's important that they keep with the friends and play their own other sports outside of soccer. Normalize mistakes. So how players can recover from mistakes on the pitch, and the self-talk, but things they can do for themselves on the pitch that can get them back in the game, get them back focused. And small wins matter. So little by little. So some psychological skills in game, mental preparation in game, emotional management. There's quite a lot there, but these are some of the things we hope through giving the parents and the coaches and the kids resources that we can help them become better mentally and more focused and have higher concentration levels in the football, but also carry that through as well into the lives, adulthood and beyond. We also intend to bring in, and hopefully, I don't want this to be deemed as like a homework thing for the kids, but we want the kids to maybe participate in a home training routine or a program I'm going to try and bring in. And so it would start at like the 10 to 12 ages with the foundation. In fact, I would be quite open to dropping this down to maybe 8. And this is just more like fun movements for the kids, and they can. So they're learning how to control the bodies here. At this age group, a lot of these kids are going through the peak height velocity. So this is where a lot of injuries can occur in this age group. So it's all about development. And then later on here, we can have some real big impacts with training at home, because this is where you can get like the good strength, endurance work, and we can really make them big, powerful, robust athletes.
Question for you.
Sure.
Do you have the ladies' ACL protocols included in your training?
Yeah, so there will be built into there'll be differences between the boys and the girls, yeah, 100%. So a lot of girls are like, well, girls tend to be quad dominant, so we'll work on like more hamstring stuff for the girls, so it'll be more hamstring exercises, but they don't differ so much, but there will be definitely added ones for the girls, yeah, sure. And that's it really. Any questions or anything like that? Anyone, is there anything that anyone's confused about at all? So basically all we're trying to do is instill a bit of education into the kids, but through football, really, through soccer. That's all. I'm open to ideas as well from you guys. Anything you want, I'll help explain or. Yeah.
So Ryan, we brought Ryan in for the next week here to be working with Coach. So I want to talk a little bit about your process of what you plan on doing with Sean and with the coaches to help sort of start implementing a lot of this.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's very much a learning curve at the moment for me as well, coming to a club, and we've talked a little bit over on WhatsApp and the internet and using
Sometimes.
Zoom calls and stuff.
Yeah.
But
Okay.
until I talk to
I
you, I
might
didn't
enter
really
them
know
on the
what to
screen.
expect, you know.
I
So,
might enter them on the
but it's
screen.
going to be a learning curve for me. And
I don't want to.
I've got to be careful about what information I put out there because I don't want to overpower the kid with too much information and just drop things in every now and again. I want to make sure that we're doing it in some kind of controlled way as well. And it's just not information, 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 because then I think that the kid would get quite bored and annoyed with that. Sorry. Oh, okay.
I got some questions from the chat. All right. Right. There's somebody. Are you going to be going to practice, I guess, to train the kids, or what do you think your the how will this get mostly implemented through coaching and protocols? Like, what's your sense of the implementation of a lot of the ideas?
So I'll be giving information back to the coaches. We had a coaches meeting the other day, and I'll be giving the coaches information on best practicing. We talked about things like on warm-ups and things, how we can introduce standardized warm-ups. So and again, the idea we can get a standardized warm-up throughout the club. The idea is that it's better for the coaches because what can happen is once the children have learned the warm-up, they can take ownership of it. And so the coaches are going to practice, the kids can come in, the coach can go, Johnny, take the warm-up, the kid will know the warm-up, and he'll take that warm-up. And also it encourages players that are maybe not so outgoing and the quieter kids, they can come in and they can do the warm-up and they can take something, and hopefully that would build confidence as well. But there was something came up with the little minor things came up with the coaches being about cleat selection. So on playing on turf, cleat selection, one of the coaches saying the other kids didn't really know what boots to wear, or they wanted to wear the most modern boots or the biggest boots or the branded boots out here. And he felt that some of the kids were wearing the wrong boots. So we touched on that earlier on the group as well. So there's a massive problem with ACL injuries and turf. So anything we can eradicate like one injury, then we've done it, you know. Anything else?
Yeah, thanks, good.
I stole it from you. Just to jump in on that point, we also have some staff here. I think we're turning yours off.
Yep.
There we go. We'll have some staff who are here while Ryan is away who are going to be actually directly in charge of implementing some specific programming as well that's going to happen outside of the team training. So we'll have some coaches who are on site who are going to say, hey, we want to add some physical training, some extra elements, some movement patterns, some things to do, maybe some introductory work, and then some more advanced work for the older players. So we're going to put that into practice on the field for all the players throughout the club spaces. So then that way it's not just, hey, every now and then you get some information thrown at you, figure it out. The coaches are going to have that constant information from Ryan as a resource. Ryan's a resource for our club. And then we'll have a couple staff members who we've assigned who will have a passion for it, who are also qualified in this area of working with players to help implement those programs on a more consistent basis in between the times that Ryan is able to visit with us. You should be back now.
Is there anything else? Anyone with any questions or queries? Yeah, sure.
What does the typical season look like for the more recreational division versus the junior? You kind of walk me through what does it start off with, mostly practices and then games?
Yeah, so good question around the differences in the program. So we're actually going to dive into that after some of this. But just quick overview is the rec is just a fall league, whereas the juniors have a summer fall season and they have a winter spring season, so they can go quite extended and play almost year round. But when they're in that season, Rec will have two trainings a week and games. But their training doesn't start far ahead of when their games begin. They maybe get what, 2 weeks of training, and then their games are going to begin. So it's a very reduced time commitment more than anything. And then they work with volunteer coaches as opposed to our professional coaches.
Good.
Just so you know, I'm happy to be in any WhatsApp groups or anything like that. You know, I'm happy to be in anything like that. Any questions, so that's my part. So,
Okay, thank you, Ryan.
Julie slides.
Yeah, if you can get back.
Okay, you don't get stuck with me for very long. So as I mentioned before, we've hired an outstanding new girls director. So Erin Vaughn is going to be part of our program. She's going to be the Mercer Island Girls Juniors Director, and then she's going to be the Eastside West Girls Director. So she'll be working in a lot of our female spaces, and then she's going to be talking through what her vision is for the programs and the way that we want to really create opportunities for girls in this sport.
Well, thanks for having me here. I'm super excited to be working with this within this community. I've been in Seattle now for 12 years. I have been a director of some sort for the last 10, and I would say for the last 8 years, I've had a real big focus on girls' programs at the clubs I've been at. Super successful, built every year, and I think the biggest thing that has been the most important is the natural growth and retention to create positive experiences for our female athletes. We all know that the difference between the boys and the girls is huge in terms of numbers. And, in a perfect world, would we like 50-50? Absolutely, but that's not realistic. So we want to make sure that we build a space for our females that are currently in the club and those who are interested moving forward, a positive experience and a meaningful place to play for everyone. So it's really important to me that we show that as a club, not just in the East Side area, but also with the MI area as well. Player experience and support and development, all teams are equal. All teams are seeing what I would like to do. Hopefully, obviously, everything takes time, it's organic. I want to make sure that we're promoting our female teams within the East Side and MI as much as we can. Let's honestly, I want their faces on social media, obviously, if obviously we're good with that, but I want theirs just as much as the boys' side. I want to be seeing that we're supporting our female staff as female players as much as we can. We want to make it a female-centered environment as much as possible. So I'm planning on doing some female-only training sessions throughout this year. Obviously, with the summer being hectic, it's going to be kind of a within a few weeks organized, and we'll put it on the schedule as quickly as we can. But it's an open session. I have one planned for this month, which we'll be communicating soon. But it is an open session where girls can come. There's no boys there. They can just be themselves, be who they want to be, enjoy it. It will be fun. It will be challenging. It's not just a fun camp. They're still gonna get challenged. They're still gonna get pushed. But they're gonna hopefully have female-led staff there as well. I do want some of the male staff members to be involved because we do have male staff on some of our teams. So that's really important that they're understanding the way I want it to be, the way I would like them to deliver certain things to females, because there is a difference between the two for sure. And then my big vision, and I know Sean and everyone else is we would like female coaches all on our female teams. That is definitely a work in progress. I know that just being kind of in this environment for a long time, it's hard. But I do have two female staff ready for next year, hopefully coming in. So that is my big plan. And the way we can get them in is we can show them support with education, kind of developing self-development with the sessions, with how they deliver, with how they communicate. And that's going to be a big part of how my role here, making sure that everyone is on the same page, delivering the same stuff, and just continuing to support and grow our female side. So one thing that I've, just a little quote, if she can see it, she can be it. I think that's massive, and I don't think we should restrict any young female from being or doing what she wants to do. So that's it from me. I appreciate it. If you want to contact me, please feel free to email me, and I have time for everyone.
All right. Thank you, Aaron, and thank you, Ryan. So like you say, there's a lot of things that we're really trying to push and grow within our programs. You know, we don't want to settle and say, hey, what we've been doing is great, we're just going to keep doing that. We want to push forward. We want to provide more. We want more opportunities for players, but we want to target those opportunities in that. It's not just cast it out and see what works. It needs to be focused. So Aaron being really driven on the girls' programs, Ryan being really driven on the wellness of our players, these things really matter. We think are going to make a very tangible difference for everybody who's involved. And then as we discuss on the other new thing that's going on, Eastside West. So we're very excited with our new partnership with Eastside, because what we feel is it now gives us just a very complete pathway option for players where everything is in-house, it's within their community, and then they can progress to all the levels that they want to, from micro soccer to recreational to juniors to select to Eastside West to Eastside and the ECNL. Every player will be a part of that pathway, and they get to engage with it how they want to. And then they get to work towards that while remaining in their community all the way up through until they reach the ECNL level. We think it's really valuable that kids get to stay local. They don't have to be moving out of their community to pursue something that's a higher competitive level until it gets to that true, genuine premier level where, you know, you have the ECNL demand, you have national level travel. That's where we say, you know what? You're so committed, you're so ready, and you're so eager. This is when it might be time to leave your community. Anything that's not at that level, we say you can get that right here now. And so that's what we're very excited about, that, you know, players don't have to feel they need to leave. They don't have to seek something outside. We're going to advocate for them. And that's something we want to make really clear to everybody, is that any players who have the ambition and they show the capacity, we're going to advocate for them and say, these players need that opportunity and we're going to push. And that's now all in-house. We don't have to go and reach out to outside clubs and hope that it works out. We have inside knowledge of what's going on. We have direct contacts, guest training, guest playing. All those opportunities are going to be available. And we're, you know, been fortunate already that we've seen players making it into the ECNL and ECNL RL levels just in this past tryout cycle. So we're really excited about that. But what we're also excited about is that's happening well. Our select teams are remaining intact. We're not losing our select program. We're not losing our rec program. We're not losing our juniors. We're not giving up those community-based programs to go and chase that premier offering. We believe that we can do all of it, and we can do all of it thoughtfully. And so that's what we're really excited about, what we're working towards with this new program. And so to touch on that point of select versus rec versus premier, just a little quick snapshot of what all of that looks like. So premier soccer is obviously the most demanding. It's a year-round commitment. You have heavy training, lots of travel, very demanding, you know, the highest level of competition. You're working with the highest qualified professional coaches. And that's what you're really seeing, like, hey, I want to play collegiately. I'm really dedicated to this. This is my only sport. This is my life. I live for this. That is my pathway. And then you have select, which is an 8 to 10 month commitment. And as we've alluded to, we like multi-sport athletes. We think it's actually very healthy for kids, and it is. It's proven to be very healthy. It's not just my idea. But it's great for those kids to say, you know what? I like baseball. I want to play baseball in the spring, but I'm a really committed soccer player, and I want to have that. I want to work with professional coaches. I want to be pushed, but then I want to play lacrosse. I want to play baseball. I'm big into basketball. It works around that, and we try to be very accommodating to work with that. The one to ask is say, hey, when you're in our season, especially in the fall, soccer is a priority in the fall. That's the expectation that we set and that we ask. And then we say the other times, we're going to work with you. We're going to be collaborative, and we're going to allow you to seek the things that the players want to seek. And then you have recreational soccer, which is the 3 month commitment, 2 times per week training. And you have volunteer coaches who, like I said, are outstanding. We have just really amazing people who are involved in our rec program who do an outstanding job every single year, with really local games. And then there's the Rec Cup, which is super fun. A lot of our teams do it and they have a great time. And I think we've had a couple of teams have been real close to winning it the last couple of years. And so, you know, we're finding teams that are finding some competitive success, but they're all having a great time. They're building friendships, they're learning lessons, and they're just engaging with all their friends, which is, you know, really what is the most important thing. So just looking ahead to the summer, so the juniors program, they're going to do two jamborees. We're going to do the Pac Northwest Jamboree, which is coming up pretty quick here. And then we're going to do the Eastside Juniors Jamboree at the end of July. So they get to participate in those tournaments. I call them tournaments. There's not trophies or anything like that where you're trying to progress. They're going out, they're playing outside games. They're getting that little condensed kind of game schedule to get a feel of what a tournament's like. But it's about them having a great time in summer and just getting a feel for their teammates, their coaches, and what the experience is like. And then for Select, so what we're trying to do is just really make it clear and easy for everyone to plan their summer. And so we want to put these schedules out ahead of time. So this was all given out to the coaches when they have their team meetings. But we're trying to, wherever we can, just standardize those tournament participation points where everyone can just say, hey, you know what? We as a team, this is what the club recommends. Do we want to do this? Yes or no? Set the calendar, team registers, set and done, and everyone can look forward to just having a great summer tournament experience. If any team wants to do something different, they're welcome to do so. But this is the guidance that the club provides just to make it really clear, really kind of have a great starting point for everyone to say, if we get great groups of teams together, if we get multiple teams at a tournament, they get to watch each other, they get to support each other, they get to build that community. And it's really fun when that happens, when they're cheering for each other from the sidelines, different age groups and different genders are going supporting each other. It's really fun, and kids actually remember that quite a bit. I can speak from my experience, seeing older teams coming watching me play. I had siblings and their teams would come and watch. It's a pretty cool experience having, you know, different teams of different ages coming and watching you and cheering you on. And then looking at the Select gaming circuit. So they're just going to play, not just, but they're going to exclusively play in the NPSL. We used to kind of hop between some different leagues. We're going all in on the NPSL, which is a really great nonprofit, volunteer-driven local league. So it just operates within the Puget Sound. So I think your hardest game is Bainbridge to get to.
Squim.
Yeah. We get real unlucky, you get Squim. But those are, you know, a couple of the peninsula games. Otherwise, you know, you're staying quite local, and that's what we think kids should be. They should be staying local. There's no reason to get in the car for 7 hours to drive to a different state to play a league game. Don't think that that's necessary for anybody to go and do. And then the State Cup, so there's options for the Founders Cup or the President's Cup. So the Founders Cup happens in January, and then the President's Cup is in the spring. And then Eastside West, so they have a little more options. They're going to be doing a minimum of two, but most likely three tournaments every single team. So, you know, amping up that commitment level. And then here are kind of the standardized options that we've put forward. Those teams have gone and reached out, had their meetings, and they're making those plans, and then they're going to continue to finalize all of those. But yeah, like we said, Eastside West is going to have a minimum of two, but pushing for three tournaments throughout the summer to really pump up that commitment. And then their fall and spring gaming circuit, the RCL League. So that goes from September all the way through March. So they're going to be playing that extended season, and they're training three times a week. And then they'll have their two State Cup options, which is the State Championship Cup or the President's Cup.
I have a question.
Yes.
For the Eastside West program, are there going to be opportunities to play as a at age groups with the other Eastside teams play or practice?
So the question was around if there's opportunities within Eastside for them to play as a pool and
practice.
Yeah, so we've been putting some things into place around age group trainings to happen both at Preston and also inviting some of those teams from Bellevue and Preston to Mercer Island to have that connection across the different spaces. So a lot of the coaches have already been interacting to work on that. And then we're implementing, trying to just find a really good day. We say, hey, we can consistently set up whole age group trainings and just make that an open invitation here on the island, as well as working directly with them. So that's very much things that we've talked about, you know, among all of the Eastside directors, we've collaborated and said, this is really valuable. We want a whole club feel. don't want it to be, hey, Mercer Island, stay in your space, Bellevue, stay in your area, Preston's going to do their thing. We want it to be all very collective, because that's the way that the pathway really exists and really thrives and the kids get seen. And so that connection is very important to us to put all that together. Yes.
So more information to come.
Yeah, in terms of confirmed dates and confirmed structure of how that's going to happen, but the plan is very much for that to take place throughout the season, yes. So diving into our methodology, I won't read all of that at you. That's a lot of information, but some people asked in the chat, and just to make it clear, this will all be loaded on our website. This whole slideshow will be on our website for anyone to download who wants to go and review it and see it, so you'll have all that information available. But it's just saying, a lot of it is around, what's really important to us is that all the coaches are assessing from shared framework. We prioritize kids playing. Across the east side, it's all the players are going to play at least 50% of minutes. Within Mercer Island, we're going to meet that or possibly exceed it, because we just want kids to play, and we believe playing games, you can't replicate it. There's nothing you can do in training, no matter how good you are, that replicates playing in a game. Every kid needs to have that opportunity. And we believe in constant learning through competition, but also through enjoyment. Kids get better when they have fun. Kids will engage more, they will learn more, they will have a better experience, and they will become better players at a much better rate if they're enjoying themselves. And that's been relayed to the coaches and informed them, say, hey, we're gonna push kids, we want them to learn, we want them to grow, but this is a game and they're kids and they need to have fun. We cannot strip that away from them in our efforts to push and drive and develop. They need to enjoy the experience because it's short and it's the only one that they get. And our obligation is to make sure that they enjoy it to the absolute maximum.
Okay, question.
Yes.
On the tournament schedule, do we know the dates of those, or will they be published on Playmetrics when they're available?
Yeah, all the dates of the tournaments are here. And then the confirmed dates for the teams, all the coaches will work with their team managers and publish them onto your schedules once the team is confirmed that you want to participate. The coaches should be polling and reaching out and talking to their teams. But when that's confirmed that the team is registered, that's going to get populated on your calendar so everybody can see. Yes.
East side, west, what's the intent on the player base? Just Mercer Island, but also other parts of close in?
In terms of the
where the players coming from.
Yeah, so the question was, what's kind of the intent on the makeup of the East Side West teams? Right now, we're at about 45% of them are Mercer Island-based players. So 45% of the player population or demographic on East Side West teams are Mercer Island-based players. And we're looking at, that's about where we want to have it be, about a good core of Mercer Island kids, Mercer Island Bellevue kids on each team, to then keep these cohorts together, groups of friends who've been going to school together, playing together, trying to get them into this next environment, but in a familiar space, and then supplemented with the size of the player pool that exists with Eastside. I think we had between the high school boys and then all the tryouts, right around 2,400 kids try out for Eastside this year. So it was a lot. But the intention is that we want these teams to have this community identity, but allow kids to not be forced out of their community spaces. So we're not going to rip kids out of select teams when that's not the commitment that they want. When they want the select commitment, they want the rec commitment, we're going to make sure they're allowed to stay in the space that suits them. And then the player pool that exists within Eastside is going to supplement the teams to fill them out and make them strong and competitive.
Another question, any changes to the juniors program this year?
So the juniors program, we're making some tweaks, but the major one is that there's probably two major ones. We will not be doing the WPL league this year. We're going to be playing in the NPSL. So just keeping everything in-house. It's a lot cleaner, a lot simpler, and then we like how that league functions a lot better. And then that will also open up the opportunity for juniors U9 teams to play in the Founders Cup. So they're going to be able to go and participate in that state tournament, which is new for them. If they choose to, it's not an obligation, but it opens the opportunity for those players to do that. And then our U9s, we're going to move into an A and a B team grading system, which we have not been doing recently, but we have enough difference in the levels of kids who want to be pushed a little more and the kids who are easing their way into the game with the open enrollment that we find it helps us place the teams more efficiently and effectively so they have the right competitive experience.
Okay, one more, I'll let you get on. EFC maroon teams, where will they practice exclusively on MI, or were they also train in Bellevue or Preston?
Yeah, so the Eastside West Maroon teams are not exclusively on MI. They're going to train in Bellevue, so they're going to have sessions going on in both locations. Those field allocations come around, you know, throughout the summer. We're waiting on our next batch of fields to come available. And then there will be the occasional training in Preston. It's not going to be something we say, hey, every you know, this amount every month you're going to train in Preston, but there will be sessions that take place, like we mentioned, around the age group sessions. There will be times that teams do head out there, and there will be times that Preston teams come out to Mercer Island as well. This is the bigger thing. I think this is something that we're really excited about, and something that goes along with what Aaron's talked about, what Ryan's talked about. This is a big drive for myself, which is upgrading the training environment. And so, again, not wanting to just settle for saying, hey, we've been doing a pretty good job. We're happy with that. How can we continue to do more, provide more, be better, and do better for the kids so they can do better? And so here's some of the information about, you know, just a few things that we're putting into place this year. Some of them you're going to see directly, because it's how coaches and staff will interact with you as parents and families. And then some of it is going to just be going on within the club in the background, but it should translate into what happens on the field. So we talk about unified phase plans. What that means is that from the leadership, we're presenting information to the coaches that they're all spending these periods of time working collectively on specific topics. So they're going to work for 3 weeks all together on a specific topic. And then the next 3 weeks, they'll all work on the next specific topic with their groups. They're going to adapt and adjust them for their own teams, because not all teams need to train the same, but they're all going to be working with the same focus in mind. So then when kids move between teams, they guest play, they guest train, they have these different opportunities, they go from a select team to a West Maroon team, it helps them adapt that much faster, because the coaches are using shared language, they're focusing on a similar topic that they've just been working on. It helps them get up to speed faster and make the most of that opportunity to have a better experience. And that goes with shared coaching language. All coaches are going to coach a little bit differently. They all have their own personalities. They're all going to be a bit distinct, but we want them using a lot of the same terms. We want them talking to the kids the same way. We want them referring to things the same way. So when a kid gets older, they change coaches, they change teams, they change clubs. Their experience is not wildly different, and it's not a shocking experience for them. They understand what is being said to them right away, and they can just focus on playing and adapt it and just get used to their new environment. We'll be having quarterly coach meetings. So myself and Aaron, we're going to be meeting with the coaches, reviewing how their work is going, providing them feedback. And then there's regular oversight. We're going to view sessions every single month. We're going to view games every single month. We're going to see what they're doing. We're going to be interacting with them and giving them feedback and guidance so that they're supported in providing a great experience for the kids. We're not just sending them out and saying, hey, we're asking you to do all this new stuff. Go figure it out. We're going to be there with them to support them and be a part of that process. And then the big one that you should all notice will be happening is the coach to family communication standards. So the new ask is that they're going to be sending you quick snapshots twice a week. They're going to talk about what's going on in training, and they're going to talk about what's going on in the games. So then that way, every week, you're getting a couple touching points from your coach. Hey, here's what you can look ahead to in the training this week. And then as the game comes up, hey, here's what we're going to play this week. Here's what we've been working on. We're excited for this game. Little touching points, just so that everyone stays informed and knows that, hey, plans are being followed. Everything's going on as it should be. And then coaches will provide bi-monthly overall team updates. Hey, team, mid-month, we've been doing great. Here's the things we've worked on. Here's what we've been learning. Here's how the team's developing. We had these two games. Here's how they went. Looking forward to the rest of the month. And then a little monthly recap at the end. And then finally, every player will have what we call an IDP, an individual development profile made for them, where the coaches sit down and they'll do goal setting. They'll talk about their strengths, talk about the areas for improvement, and just get the players to start reflecting on themselves as a player, as well as receiving guidance from their coach. And then they're going to touch on that, you know, 2 to 3 times a season. So it's consistent, it's ongoing. And then there's these, you know, natural check-in points for the coaches to work with the kids. Again, a lot of information just in our curriculum, but looking at how we do some different things at different ages, you know, so at U10, U9 as well, they're playing 77. U8, you're playing 4v4. The Micros are playing 2v2. U11, U12, 9v9, U13 and older, 11v11. But just some different areas in how we try to work with the kids, how we try to set up our training environment so that they're really successful and they're getting prepared for those games. Yes.
What age groups get the IDPs?
All of them. All age groups will get IDPs.
Sean, what levels? Has he been rec or?
They're all competitive ones. Yeah, so all competitive. So U10 through U19 for all competitive programs.
Okay. Not juniors. So.
No, juniors and rec we will not do. It'll be for selected for the East and West teams. This is where we get to ask some stuff from you guys. Fortunately, this is very easy to ask because our community does a fantastic job of this already. But it's just the parent and family expectations. Just the things that we say, hey, you know what, we as a club, you're going to hold us accountable for a lot of things. And we're going to always strive to meet that standard. But there's some things that we're going to ask from our parent community, our family community. Big one is training and game attendance. 10-year-olds aren't getting themselves the games. They need their parents or their guardians helping them get there. So when we talk about some of these life skills, timeliness is a big one, how we help them to be on time for things, to frequently attend things and say, you made a commitment to your team. We got to be there. We need to show up because it helps your team. And then it also helps the coaches. They want to plan really good sessions. To plan a really good session, you want to know how many people are going to be there. It's very different having a training of 6 as opposed to a training of 17. And so it really helps. So we things like marking your attendance on TeamSnap or play metrics, depending on which club you're at. We kind of go by a 24-72 rule. 24 hours before a training, 72 hours before a game. That just allows for coaches to plan effectively their training sessions. And then also for games, if we need guest players, if we need to figure something out because people are unavailable, it gives them a little more opportunity to figure things out and to make adjustments and to make adaptations so the team can continue to be successful. Sideline behavior, again, nothing that we've had a real issue with, I would say, and we're very grateful for that. You know, it's all about being positive, supporting the kids. The one ask we say is don't coach from the sidelines. Not because we don't think you don't know anything, but more of it's very confusing for kids. If a coach has been spending 3 weeks teaching them something and then mom and dad are on the sideline telling them something that's different, they now don't know who they should listen to. They say, well, coach has been telling me this for 2 weeks, but my dad's telling me I need to go do this. I don't know who I should listen to. And so we want to try to have that single point of information coming from them. So then that way they just can focus on playing and focus on a single bit of information and they can just go and enjoy that rather than have this internal conflict going on. But positively cheer for them, applaud for them, support them. And I always give the recommendation that after a game, no matter what happened, the first thing you can always tell your kid is, I love getting to watch you play. There's nothing that will impact them more than knowing that doesn't matter if they played great, if they played badly, if their team won, if they lost, that you were there and you enjoyed being a part of it. They will remember that forever. They will also remember if the first thing you do when you get in the car is you start getting after them and you say, what are you doing today? Why did you play like that? They will remember that too. So we choose what memory they have and how they view you as relating to their experience. So that's always my guidance and recommendation. I try to follow it. My daughter doesn't always make it easy. But I always try to have the first thing say, I love that I got to watch you play today. Then I let her go. And then we just ask, respect the roles. So we've got amazing volunteers. So volunteer rec coaches, we've got team managers, we've got treasurers, we've got social coordinators. We've got people who are giving up a lot of their time and their energy to help make these teams function, to help make this team experience better for the kids. Support them, don't hassle them, and see what we can do. And we always say, many hands make light work. If we just have one team manager and they're taking that load on themselves, it can be a lot. But if we get a lot of other people helping, taking up little roles, little jobs, helping out, it makes that team better. You'll find that you actually enjoy the experience more because you're an active part of it. And it just takes that load off of people. The coaches feel calmer. The team managers are calmer. I'm calmer. Everybody's happier that way. Going into logistics, just quick overviews on the programs. Each program has kind of its own needs, its own logistical opportunities and challenges. So for micro, the fields, really easy. It's always a homestead. Always the same time, always a homestead. Very simple. Uniforms, they're included in the registration. Super bright colors, kids have a great time. And they get Jack the Funky Donkey on the front. So they all have fun with that as well. Teams of communication. Liz does an amazing job dividing them into teams. So they get split up into their teams and they play 2v2 games and they have a really, really fantastic time. All communications will happen through Playmetrics for that. The program fee is there and that just includes everything that happens on the fall micro. For fall rec. So they're all going to train on Mercer Island. We're not sending them all over the place. Rec teams are going to stay on Mercer Island. For the uniforms, again, that's included in the registration, so they don't have to go purchasing out those. The coach contact, so they're going to get put in touch. Their coach is going to be added to their Playmetrics. You're going to have a direct coach, and all your communications are going to happen through there. And then the program fees, like we said, includes your uniform and includes your league registration. And then if the teams want to register for the Rec Cup as an optional extra tournament, the club also covers that as well. And then any extra fees if a team wants to do team events, social gatherings, then the team will then cover that cost independent of the club. And juniors, so it starts to get a little more scaled up. So the training locations, we're going to always look to keep them on MI. I don't think we've ever gone off island. We don't have any intention to. And their training time is going to be consistent throughout the year. So there are Mondays and Wednesdays. The boys are 4:30 to 5:45. Girls are 4:45 to 6. That does not change. That happens all through the throughout the entire year, from summer, fall, winter, spring. Those times and days are always set. We just have locations that will change throughout the year. For example, in June, they're all at Homestead. And then in July, they're going to be shifting over to, nope, they're going to continue there. Fantastic, even better. All communications will go, again, they'll have an assigned coach, and then all communications will happen through Playmetrics. They'll have their calendar, they'll have their schedule put there. The program fees can be split between summer, fall, winter, spring, or a full season registration. And that includes all your fees. You're paying for your professional coach, your league registrations, your summer jamborees, all of that's included there. The only thing that extra would again be team events or social gatherings. And then select, again, select programs pretty much exclusively happen on Mercer Island. This is where the uniforms start to get ordered separately. They get ordered on soccer.com. So your team gets set up a team store. You go in there, you order for your player with all the numbers that get assigned, working with your coach and your team manager. Again, all communications happen through Playmetrics. The program fee covers the coaching, the field rentals, the league registration. Things that are outside of that would be the summer tournaments, state cup, and then any team events or social gatherings. And then if the team opts to do spring select, so if they opt to play in the spring when they have a fall season, there's an additional fee for that if they choose to do so. And then East Side West Maroon logistics. So those locations, as we've discussed, are going to be between Bellevue and Mercer Island. More heavily on Mercer Island, realistically looking about 60 to 70% of the trainings will be on MI, but there will be Bellevue location trainings, and then there will be the occasional session in Preston, as we've discussed. Uniforms also ordered via soccer.com, so the teams get their own stores set up and ordered through there. Coach communication, so that's one point of difference where Eastside uses TeamSnap. So I think everyone who's on an Eastside team probably is already set up on there, but all of that will happen through TeamSnap. And then the program fees, those are standard for all of Eastside teams. So that's wherever you play, wherever you are, if you're a part of Eastside, those fees are set. And then the same as the select program, summer tournament, state cup, team events, any of those miscellaneous costs are going to go outside of that fee. And then key dates. So again, we'll share all this out. This is going to be readily available. We just quick run through. Obviously, we've just started training in June for our selected Eastside West teams. June 10th, juniors is going to begin. So that's this coming Wednesday, so 2 days from now. July 17th is the rec registration deadline. So anyone who wants to play rec, that's the deadline that we like to put out there. Make sure you sign up early, because when the people sign up for that before or on that deadline, you have a better chance of being on the team you want to be on, with the coach you want to be with the friends you want to play with. And then it makes all everyone's lives much easier, especially Liz's. Please make her life easy. So the weekend of the 12th and the 13th, we see is a pretty busy weekend. There's a lot going on. That's when fall micro is going to begin. Our select rec and Eastside West league play is going to begin. And then on September 13th, our season launch event, big kickoff event. We had our battle of the coaches last year. We're definitely going to be looking to bring that back. Have a great time. Just a big event. Kids get to play. It's really, really fun. I had a great time. I think we had about 300 something people there last year. And we love just a big crowd, and that's open to everybody. So that's Eastside West, everyone in Eastside, everyone in Mercer Island. It's a big community. We want to bring everybody together. And so more information will come about that, but we like putting that on everyone's calendar nice and early, because it's a really, really fun day. Then we look in October through December. That's when the Rec Cup takes place. So any teams that are participating in that. To be confirmed, but early November, we're going to have the AGM, just so people understand about that. And then December 10th, so anyone who's going to be in the Founders Cup, that's where we're going to have the teams registered by. So we make sure everybody's in, the rosters are set. And then January 15th is our spring select registration deadline. And then April and May will come around quick, and we'll have our next tryouts. Yes.
What is AGM?
Annual General Meeting. So it's where we take all the volunteers, everyone comes in, they vote on the board, we present the state of the club, all of that.
Okay, got some questions on.
Yes.
Okay. For juniors teams, they have a standard roster size. How many players per team?
Yeah, so the U9s will have a standard roster size. Those are going to be 13 to 14 that we're going to cap those at, and then we'll enter multiple teams if we have multiple. And then in the Sunday fun day that the U8s play in, we cap those teams at 7, maybe 8.
They have a consistent coach, or is
yes,
that a cool coach?
Yeah, also U8s and U9s are going to have a consistent coach that's going to be set for their team for their game day, so they always know who they're looking for, and they're always working with the same coach.
Can you tell a little bit about the player pathway from juniors to select?
Yes. So
what happens and what are they looking for?
Yeah. So the player pathway from juniors to select, obviously moving from U9 to U10. So our juniors program is open enrollment, meaning if you want to be a part of it, you sign up and you're a part of it. Whereas then in select, there's tryouts where you're picked for the team. Some players are picked, some players are not. So that's that really first point of like you have a funnel for that entry point. And so what we do is we try to prepare those players who are in the juniors program, who are going to be aging into that, to be ready for those tryouts. So that's why we have our training models. And what we often have is, for example, we'll have coaches who work in both spaces. So that's been something we've consistently been trying to implement, where coaches who work at U9 also work at U10. So then that way they're helping bridge that gap. There can be some guest playing, which you've seen frequently. We want those players to, again, have as seamless of a transition as possible. So then when they go into that tryout process, which can be quite difficult and nerve-wracking, we want to make it as easy as we can be. So they have a familiar face, they've been prepared, they've seen it before. So they're trying out with their friends. They feel a lot more comfortable and prepared for that.
Do we know when the teams and practices for juniors were posted on PlayMetrics?
It's on there right now, today.
Yeah, juniors' schedules and teams have been posted on PlayMetrics as of today.
And what about Eastside West? We know when we're going to get the final schedules at locations for September.
No, the league schedule won't come out until August. So for the Eastside West teams, their league schedule isn't going to get released until the end of the summer. That's just how the RCL releases the league schedule. For our training schedule, as those field allocations come available to us, we start blocking them out. We strive for consistency wherever we can in terms of days and times. There may be some flexibility as that happens based on what we get with our allocations between Bellevue and Mercer Island. But the intention is that we try to keep it consistent. And we always try to release those with at least a month at a time, so then those can get plugged out. And then anywhere we can get multiple months, we're going to put multiple months out.
Do we know if the select U10s will pay itself most of the pay fields for the entirety of the year? Or no? The
Did
training.
Pay their
names
or training?
Training.
Yes, they will switch their junior session. U10s?
Yes.
U10s left.
Yeah,
right now they're probably not.
Juniors.
Juniors, right? With Kevin?
Yes.
Yeah. So then we'll switch them. We will switch them down there when we move juniors over.
Yeah, the juniors and the U10s are going to move with you because we have coaches who are bouncing in both spaces. So their schedules align to make that work. And then, like we talked about, in keeping that program connection to have juniors and select be really linked, we have them train kind of back to back. So then there's a really good opportunity.
And we may do that in July. I just don't have it. We may move juniors to F&P East in July.
Okay.
But I don't know. So for now, it's been said.
Question about the high school maroon teams and how they factor into the player pathway spectrum
for select or
for ESC.
I guess I don't know necessarily. How do they?
Yeah, it's just like they're part of maroon, but they're on a different schedule, I think is maybe the question.
I mean, all Eastside teams are going to be part of the same player pathway, is kind of what I assume is the grand question there. Yeah, any team that's in Eastside West, any Eastside team is a part of that same player pathway. It doesn't matter what age they're in. They're all going to be given equal opportunity to be seen, and we're all working and advocating for those players regardless. So it could be a U16 boy, which is our oldest team, or it could be U12 girls. We're going to advocate for them. We're going to push for them to be on that pathway and have that opportunity regardless of age. And then something we've been advocating for, making sure people know, is the location for the RCL level Eastside teams. So there's some in Bellevue, there's some in Preston, there's some in Mercer Island. That doesn't mean that Preston's the top team, Bellevue's the second team, Mercer Island's the third team. They're all equal. And so if a player stands out in Mercer Island, they don't have to go to Bellevue and then to Preston, and then they might make a team. They could go straight from Mercer Island to the very top team at Preston. They don't have to. They can bypass all of it. It's not some system they have to work through multiple layers to get to.
When you do field allocations, do you contemplate the percentage of the team that's based on Mercer Island? Say if you had a Eastside West Maroon team that had one Mercer Island player and everyone else was somewhere else, they might not enjoy practicing at the South Mercer playfields. Do you consider those things when doing scheduling?
We do.
Okay.
It's very complex.
I understand
doing what's available, and we don't have much available in Bellevue right now. Because of when we had a request, it was before this even knew about this.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we have to deal with coaches that want to train back to back because they have multiple teams. And so we do look at that, and we will try to do a better job because I know it's works mostly Mercer Island right now. And we'll definitely try to do a better job when we get our allocations for, I think the city comes out in August and the school district is in September. But then the school district gets deal with like issue and back to back. So yes, we would consider it. Awesome.
Maybe just a couple of questions here about how we do scheduling for fields and maybe just a little bit about how that process works.
Yeah. So field scheduling is, you know, one, dictated by what we have. So we submit applications to Mercer Island and to Bellevue for the schools in the city to, you know, say, hey, here's what we need. Here's the amount of times that we're requesting on the days that we're requesting. And then we see what they give back to us. And then when we go through that process, we say, okay, we go by age group of, we're not going to have 10-year-olds training at 9 at night. So we start with that of saying, how can we get the young kids into those earlier times and then gradually make it where the oldest players are training in the later time slots. And then we're also looking at, as was just alluded to in the discussion that maybe wasn't heard on the chat or on the Zoom, was then we'll look at, say, hey, this team might be really heavily made up of non-Mercer Island families on an Eastside team. How does that work with the coach schedule? How does that work with the allocations we have? How can we prioritize maybe putting them more often off of Mercer Island and try to accommodate for that. So we're trying to balance all of those things to do, again, strive for consistency in the days and times. So people aren't going from training Monday, Wednesday, Friday, to Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, or Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, you know, having some random shift in their schedule. And then also a wild time swing. It's like, hey, we were training at 5, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Now it's Tuesday, Thursday, Friday at 7. That's a big change. So there's going to be some flexibility needed at times, but we do try to work within consistency wherever we can. And then accounting for a team's makeup, the coach schedule, and then what we have available, we try to balance all of those things to then make sure people have a schedule that makes the most possible sense for them as a collective whole. And Liz does a very, very good job with that. Yes.
Back off kind of the same question about scheduling. So we went for this Premier League for U10. We didn't know anything about Mercer Island whatsoever. So when we got selected, we were surprised because we had a temporary coach for this one Zoom meeting that said it's going to be divided between 3 cities. So now it just like it's all Mercer Island. And it's very difficult for a 4:30 practice when, like, I'll be living in Sammamish, my daughter gets off the bus at 4:10. Can't get to Mercer Island at 4:30 practice.
Yeah. Yeah, so it won't be all Mercer Island, like you said, moving forward. That's what we just currently have available. But then we're going to look at how we can adapt that, how we can make it easier for people. And then we'll have conversations with the coaches and we'll look at what makes the most sense there. Say, hey, how can we get these trainings in? How can we make that time fit with their other schedule, with other teams they have? And also looking at that team makeup and saying, hey, you know what? This team would benefit from being in Bellevue 2 days a week. Can we do that? Do we have the capacity? Great. Wherever we can, we're going to do that to just try to alleviate that burden. So we're saying short term, this is what we currently have available. But knowing that we are working on trying to alleviate that everywhere that we possibly can to just make it as accessible as possible and reduce the burden on families.
You could message one of us too, just to put that out there so that it's in our mind, your situation, because we will try. That's a hard situation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes,
sir. I have an easy one. Is the registration for juniors still open and what day are their dates?
Yeah, juniors registration is open. So for the U9s, it's set on schedule. It's going to be Saturdays or Sundays. It's not necessarily fixed in terms of which day that it is, but it'll be one, you know, a Saturday or a Sunday. And then their training schedule is going to continue to be the Monday, Wednesday.
And does juniors start at U9? I have a son who's 7, so we're trying to figure out a way to put him.
Starts at U8, so he's right in that age area. Yeah, so it starts at U8, so it's U8 and U9. So the U8s, easier, they're always on Sundays.
Okay.
That one is really easy. So the U9s, they alternate, but the U8s, they do Sunday fun day in the fall. That starts in September. That's just over at Newport Heights Elementary, and that's on just on Sundays. We don't play them on any other day.
Select jerseys. Kids, how do they get those?
Select uniforms are ordered on soccer.com. So they work with their team. Players pick their numbers. Those get submitted in. Those get put on Playmetrics. We pull that information, set up your store, and then they just order through soccer.com.
What will that like?
As soon as their team has their numbers picked, we will have them up.
Good.
Yeah. And that brings us to the end. So again, if people don't want to ask questions here, you're more than welcome to reach out to myself, or if you have questions about the girls programs, reaching out to Aaron. Ryan's going to be a resource that we'll let people connect to. Like I said, this is going to be put on our website, this presentation, so anyone can download it. We've recorded this, so there'll be an audio recording that people can download. So we just want information to be available to everyone. And then if you have other questions, please reach out. Like I said, we want to help. You know, we're not here to say this is what we do and, you know, go kick rocks if you don't like it. We want people to feel like they're supported and that we're here to help you, because if we help you, we're helping kids. And that's what it really all comes down to. So thank you all for taking the time to be here in person. Thank you all for those who signed on to Zoom. We hope it was informational and you guys had a lot of your questions answered, and we're looking forward to a great season.
Yeah.
tongue right now.
Good job, everyone, in person.
What are the tight shoes?
I'm sorry. I